God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. I want to thank the family here at AFR. I've been cryptic and purposely so. One day I hope to be able to tell the whole story about this 6 months, not even that, 6 months battle to surrender to God. And I did that yesterday, and I'm trying to remain surrendered. And gosh, you know, when I started to ask for prayers on this topic, it was incredible what God did. He increased pain in an area where I hadn't experienced any. And in increasing the pain, it became not just pain for me, but pain for others. And I can't abide that. So I surrendered. And I'm dealing with the after effects of that today, feeling a little, emotionally under the weather. And I know God's going to fill that space. There's a myth. And the myth is that if you follow God's word, he's not going to prune you. He is going to prune us. Even a great apple tree, and I'm not saying I'm a great apple tree. I've been not surrendering. Even a great apple tree sometimes needs to be pruned to become even better, to keep bearing fruit. So let's not buy the idea that just by following, I shouldn't say just, by following the Lord Jesus, that we don't face pruning in life. After all, we're visitors here and we have a job, and that's to build the kingdom. So really thank you for whatever way you prayed. And I felt it. I felt the effects of it. And it was going to be something I could no longer live with. And it's not a huge sin issue, really. It's not. It's a distraction issue. It's an issue that could have been problematic, but it wasn't. So thank you for that. Did you hear the news? I love the top of the hour news that AFR provides. Such good quality news. It's nice to have a news network surrounding you as a host that doesn't lie. It was really frustrating when I was doing morning radio in Seattle on the general talk station. This is Cairo FM. Used to be a legendary talk station. It is just a shell of itself. Ratings, too. But to be the conservative on a show with one moderate liberal and one opportunistic liberal because it's popular, to hear our news lie is so frustrating as a host. I remember this time, and this is in relation to Jeff Bezos and the Washington Post, by the way. It's not rambling. I do have a point, and it's to Bezos, actually. I remember our news lady was reporting on these terrible AR-15s that have bullets the size of an NFL football that can be fired every second. Or no, fired thousands of rounds in a second. And I heard that twice. The news lady said it, and I looked at her, I craned my neck, and thought, what? And she said it again in a later newscast. And I finally, after work, after the show was over, I said, hey, are you open to feedback about that? Sure, of course. That's not true. Here, let me show you she goes, well, let me stop you. I'm quoting a United States Congresswoman. Okay, that's who I'm quoting. A United States Congresswoman said that. That's who I'm quoting. I said, okay, I didn't hear you quote her. I heard you say that these guns have bullets the size of footballs that can be fired thousands of rounds at a time. Well, it's from a congressional source. A congresswoman. Yes, Maxine Waters. I heard it. Here is a picture. May I show you a picture? And I showed her a picture of my AR-15 and the rounds. and said, they fit in my hand. This is the shell. The bullet's this little tip. That's the bullet. Well, I'm quoting a congressional source. Driving away, I tuned in the station to hear the top of the hour news running before the next show. She said it again. She said it again. And every gun owner or reasonable human being listening to that knew that that's not true. But she had her bubble source, Maxine Waters. I met Jeff Bezos twice, once embarrassingly enough at a bathroom, in the bathroom during a Seahawks game. My friend John had helped him get Amazon started. And I shook his hand and then we ended up standing next to each other in the bathroom. Very awkward. And he was a different guy then. I met him again at an event in San Diego. Thank goodness he didn't remember the earlier meeting. We had a brief discussion, and he said something about this technology that I helped invent that won a so-called Demogod Award, and he said it was clever. faint praise, it was clever. Yeah, well, it certainly was clever. It wasn't Amazon level, of course. So Jeff Bezos wants to be accurate and seen as accurate. Okay, let's look at this as a relationship. Let's look at a relationship tortured by, let's say, acts of infidelity. Let's look at a relationship where infidelity had happened maybe once, maybe twice, and there's been a desire to be trusted. I was talking with a therapist once about this. And we're just having a conversation about what are the difficult parts of your job. And one of the things she said is, in the case of couples where there's been adultery, it's very frustrating because the adulterous couple will tell me, I have told my husband or wife, I will never do that again. I've told them I love them. I made a mistake. I feel deeply, grievously horrible about it. And I keep telling them that I'm never going to do it again. And it's just never enough. And I give up. I can't convince them. I said, how do you deal with that? She said, I asked them, what do you think your words are worth to your mate? Because it was the same mouth that you used to say on the phone, oh, I'm with my friends. Late night at work, hon. The flight got canceled. Oh, no, that doesn't say Michelle. That's supposed to say Michael on my phone. I'm sorry. I'm a bad speller. Same mouth is now saying, I'll never do it again. It's behaviors. It starts with true repentance. And true repentance involves sorrow. Evident sorrow. Not just for having hurt your mate, but for having hurt God. Same thing can be true of a grievous, you know, horrible act of theft or abuse or striking out in violence. It needs to be met with repentance, which contains sorrow, both for the person you harmed and for your relationship with God and for God's feelings. And then it involves behaviors. This is what this therapist said to me, is I caution these couples that you need to show trustworthy behavior. And after an affair, she told me, and incidentally, I should mention that as I'm talking through this, talking about my wrestling with God, I'm not an affair, not me or my wife, just so we're clear. There's people going, oh gosh, you're going to make this. No, I would have to tell you if that happened because I'd have to tell AFR, and I would. So she said to me, no, in that case, what I focus on are the little things. If you say you're going to be home at 7, get home at 6:59. If you say you're going to call your spouse at 11:30, call them at 11:29. If you say you're going to mow the lawn, mow the lawn. Start to build up this behavioral trust that people can look at and say, oh my gosh, okay. And they may not even recognize it. I am beginning to feel comfortable again. I'm beginning to feel like I can trust you. You said you'd pick the kids up from school. You did. You said you let me explain myself and my concerns without arguing. You let me say that and just listen, and you did it. And you're starting to show these behaviors of trust. So to Bezos, apologize on behalf of the Washington Post for lying about President Trump. Issue a full-page apology for lying about the Hunter Biden laptop. And mean it. See, there's the rub. A large portion of the staff at the Washington Post doesn't apologize. They've done the thing that an adulterous couple will do, or an adulterous member of a marriage. Well, I wasn't getting my needs met, so I got them met. In the case of the Washington Post, well, look, Trump is an existential danger to democracy. I was quoting national security experts. This was a national security investigation. I was quoting the national security sources, right, without investigating it. You just took their word for it. You could have said, critics of President Trump, including 120-some former Intel agency executives, say, you could have said it that way. So apologize for not reporting a Hunter Biden laptop story. Apologize. And then let's see some trust, such as this. Here's a huge story. Huge. Let's see if the Washington Post is willing to cover this. There is now an agreement that's being worked on. The United States, Canada, and Mexico launched a joint pandemic preparedness initiative to focus on the One Health approach to empower the World Health Organization to impose global control measures like vaccine passports and policies targeting the infodemic. The infodemic. What's that? That's this show. I'm part of the infodemic. I'm here to tell you that the mRNA injections never were vaccines, ever. They simply never met the definition of vaccine, so they changed the definition. I'm here to tell you that. That's part of the infodemic. And vaccine passports and policies that would target the infodemic would target who? Well, we can't have you traveling. You spread disinformation and misinformation about our preparedness response, about COVID, about flus. In announcing the October 23 launch of the North American Preparedness for Animal and Human Pandemics initiative, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services cited the COVID-19 pandemic as the impetus for the new initiative. The COVID-19 pandemic has shown that there are myriad political, legal, regulatory, policy, preparedness, and response challenges that can be best addressed through a stronger, coordinated regional approach across multiple sectors facing large-scale events. COVID was not a pandemic. They had to change the rules to have it qualify as a pandemic. Hey, Jeff, behave differently. Report on this. Investigate it. Debunk it if you can. Here's one other suggestion to Mr. Bezos. Close 90% of your Washington, D.C. job postings. 90%. Force the staff who wants to remain employees of the Post to live in America. Because as someone who's lived and worked in Washington, D.C., I'm here to explain it has no relationship to America. It has a different economy. If it wants more money, it takes it. There's no depressions or recessions. Never happens. Make your writers and bosses live in America. And guess what? You will, by virtue of experience, get more fair coverage. We'll come back on The Disciples' View. I'm Todd Herman. Thanks for listening to the Hit That Post. There it is. It's the Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Again, I appreciate all your prayers. It's a really difficult thing to have to sit and talk with a friend and say, man, I don't know that we can continue an active friendship. Hard. And I appreciate your prayers and pushing me into that via prayer. Thank you for that. You know President Trump's ex-wife, Marla Maples? She posted this note on Twitter-X. And she said that she wanted people to see. This is what she said. So President Trump's ex-wife, Marla Maples, posted this following note. She said, "Good Sunday morning, everyone, from New York City. I wanted to share a side that many people don't see of my former husband and my daughter's father. God bless America and all of you and real Donald Trump."
Jesus wants to be Lord of your life. I said there's only one person that can do it all the way. You know who that is? Jesus Christ.
And above all else, we know this. In America, we don't worship government. We worship God.
You can do all you want, but you know, you still need help from the boss. We need help from the boss. Somebody said to me the other day, "You're the most famous person in the world by far." I said, "No, I'm not. No, I'm not." They said, "Yes, you are." I said, "No." They said, "Who's more famous?" I said, "Jesus Christ."
Lord, I thank you that America didn't need a preacher in the Oval Office. It did not need a professional politician in the Oval Office, but it needed a fighter and a champion for freedom. And Lord, that's exactly what we have.
We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who
by the way, they have hands on Trump. Again. As they're doing that, you know, that best bit there, they have hands on Trump and they're praying for President Trump. And so I've seen a bunch of people respond to this saying, "Oh, okay, so now Trump loves Jesus. So we're to believe that he is a fervent Christian who pursues the Lord Jesus and abides." Great news. Great news. No, we don't have to know that. Few of us know him. I don't. I can observe him from afar in public circumstances and through policy. And by observing policy and public statements from afar, I can say, all right, I don't know that I observe the fruit of the spirit of, let's say, tolerance. Well, I happen to observe it. In a weird way, in a very Trumpian way, I saw him go to the Black Journalists Association. And the woman who was hosting that was quite rude in her opening statement about him. And he said, "You're a rude woman." Wait a minute. White men can't tell black women they're rude. They can't? Maybe you can say it in a nicer way, and I'm paraphrasing what President Trump said. Maybe you can say it in a nicer way. "I feel harmed by what you said. That's hurtful to me. I believe that was rude." Maybe that's a better way to approach it. But in President Trump's way, it's tolerant, because he would say the same thing to Jake Tapper, who's a white man. So the good news is God knows. God knows whether President Trump truly loves Jesus and is truly seeking to abide, just as God knows if we are. So the great news is we don't have to figure it out. What we do know is that in this country right now, one of these two people will be in the White House. One would hope through an election victory rather than theft, which is why I continue to beg you to pray protection upon your ballot. However you vote, pray protection upon your ballot. Pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, with the powers delegated to us by the Lord Jesus. That is, if we follow Jesus, we've surrendered to him and continue to surrender, even when it's hard. And we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, sometimes pushing us to do things that we'd rather not do. Sometimes, though, they're always there to help us when we can choose to draw upon these delegated powers and say, pray protection upon our ballots. So President Trump versus Kamala Harris. We had this discussion the other day in youth group. Now, not really Harris versus Trump, but the topic of politics in church was an interesting topic because one of the really quiet boys in our group who doesn't speak out much spoke out on this. And he said, I don't think politics should be spoken about in church at all. Maybe once, but not often at all. And it was a fascinating time because we'd had some discipline issues and we handled it. And it's a good group of kids and I love them dearly. And so I said, does anyone want to respectfully disagree? Another boy stepped up and said, yeah, I respectfully disagree. I think politics should be spoken about. I think our pastors should tell us who to vote for. Great discussion with these young guys. And I presented to them the notion that if your preacher or pastor is in the Bible or priest is in the Bible, you shouldn't need to be told who to vote for. So we don't have to know if President Trump follows the Lord Jesus and is abiding. That sounded sincere to me. It sounded like President Trump means it. I listened to that. Man, I'm convinced. But I don't know. But God does. Some things are very, very clear, however. And this is what we talked about with the boys. I brought up a very easy case in my mind, abortion. It ends an innocent life. That is a fact. That is the definition of murder. That is also a fact. But it's impacting the life of the mother almost never. Almost never. Convenience, yes. Feeling of safety, okay. That could be true. And the case they always want to bring up is rape. And oh my gosh, what a horrible case to bring up. Oh, I know people who are very pro-life, 100%. I am too. And I challenge you to say, I want to be the one to tell her, no, you have to take the baby to term. I challenge you to be excited about that. Say, no, let me do it. I can't wait. That's hard. It's hard to sit with someone you love and respect and say, I'm sorry, I cannot. I cannot pretend I don't see the innocent life. I can't do that. I cannot pretend there's not an innocent life growing in you. I can't pretend. I can't pretend that I don't worry about the decisions you're making. And in this case, of this innocent child. The boys agreed, all of them. Okay, yeah, that's a clear-cut case. Okay, so if you're making a decision to vote, that would be one thing on which you could base your decision. Defending innocent life, right? Yes, okay, they agreed with that. Praise God. Now, remember, these are young guys, ninth grade. So I brought up another one that I think is harder. And that is, we live in Idaho. I'm doing the show from what I call the high mountains of free America in North Idaho. And thank you to AFR for letting me do it remotely, by the way. And I brought up a case next door in the separate country of Washington State. One can go across the border and steal $999 worth of stuff from a store and walk out. And the police are told not to pursue. Stores often have a policy, just let them go. My wife was so troubled by this one morning. This was not in Spokane, but it was in Seattle, that a man went into a grocery store called QFC. He went into the steak and meat section. He emptied it. Just filled his cart with steak and hamburger and ribs, and then went through the alcohol section and filled his cart with alcohol, wines and beers. And I think she said it was, then he also went and got diapers and laundry detergent. A lot of it. All the while being careful to make sure he didn't go over $999, and he walked out. And my wife was one of the people who said, how dare you? And he just kept walking. And someone said, call the police. And then the store manager said, they won't come. Well, you have to stop him. He's stealing. We're told not to. Why? Because it's a law. It's not shoplifting unless it's $1,000. I said this to this group of boys, and one of the boys said, wait a minute. So I could go steal like 3 iPads and a couple of cell phones. Can I steal the data plans? I go, I don't think you can steal the data plans. Yeah, you could go steal the hardware. Yep, you could. That is so cool. Okay, you know God will see you, right? Oh. Yeah, you shall not steal. Tempting for him. Sin is tempting, isn't it? And then I said this. Because another one of the boys thought it was cool. Oh, I'm in. I'm going to go do it. Okay. Well, what about when they pass a law that people can steal $999 worth of your stuff out of your house? That's different. That's a store, right? A store owned by a company, which is a group of people. It could be a small store owned by a family. So why couldn't they say, hey, it's not burglary unless it's over $1,000? Oh, yeah. Oh, no, that's wrong. You shall not steal. Well, there's political parties and candidates who say, yeah, it's okay to steal. It's cool. Long as it's not $1,000. That'd be a convenient way to measure your vote. I said to the guys then, hey, you know what? You really would like those phones. You really wanted those phones. Oh, I want a new phone. Yeah, I love iPads. I love tech. So it's something that you really desire. Yeah, so like you're coveting it. Oh, is that what coveting means? Mm-hmm. You shall not covet. We talked about reparations. That was really an interesting discussion because a couple of the boys actually have slavery in their backgrounds. But they came around and agreed, yeah, you shouldn't have to pay. You didn't do it. So we don't have to know if President Trump truly follows the Lord Jesus. He seems sincere in that clip I played. If that was at the top of the segment, if you missed it. But man, we can measure the fruits of their policies, can't we? If your pastor, priest, bishop is reading from the Bible, shouldn't have to tell you how to vote. Jim Ball is president of the Heretics at Evangelicals for Harris. Listen to him attempt to answer a very simple question about boys and men competing against women and girls in sports.
What is Evangelicals for Harris stance when it comes to trans education, young, you know, biological males playing in women's sports, and the issues of teaching children in a form that some Christians think is indoctrination? What would you all say in response?
Yeah. We're actually more concerned. Let me back up a sec. For us, the Christian life is about fulfilling the great commandments to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. Mm-hmm. That is our calling as human beings. Because God loves everyone, God has a special concern for those who are vulnerable, who are endangered, those who are poor, those who don't have what God intends for them in terms of the lives he wants for them. And so that's why God is for justice, because God loves everyone. And so Jesus especially had a concern for vulnerable people and vulnerable populations. Mm-hmm. Anybody who was despised or looked down upon, Jesus was their champion.
Right. Jesus is the champion of people, the least of these. True. Trans people, so-called, there's no one is trans, are not the least of these. They're the most powerful group of people in the world, save billionaires who have empowered them to be the most powerful, important group of people in the world. They've been granted the power to force you to lie, either through flat-out laws, such as in Canada, you can be put in prison if you will not pretend that your little girl is a boy. You can be put in prison because of the most powerful group of people in the world, made powerful by billionaires in pharma and academia, and by Satan himself, in my judgment. So as you're going through and saying, well, I don't know if President Trump is really sincere about his Christian faith. Good news. You don't have to know. I don't know if Kamala Harris is sincere about hers. Good news. You don't have to know. But we can measure them by the fruits. Let us create mankind in our image. And male and female, he created us. We can measure that. We can go back to something as simple as you shall not lie. And Jim Ball with Evangelicals for Harris is telling a lie, pretending that so-called trans people are the least of these when they hold unearthly powers to force people to lie and pretend, for men to be able to force their way into showers of women and girls and say, yeah, I'm naked. What are you going to do about it? Yeah, I'm looking at your naked body. You don't want me to. What are you going to do? So let's think about this. Scripture is good for teaching and rebuke and guidance, but not for voting? Oh no, very much for voting. We'll come back with the tire babbling and a personal note. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I'm sure you saw figurehead Biden calling people garbage. And it's in response to what was, I understand, a Puerto Rican comedian who called Puerto Rico a garbage island. And I played on my podcast a long video from a woman who's Puerto Rican. And now, I don't know this to be the case. I know that she's Puerto Rican, and she is able to talk as a Puerto Rican woman. And in her assessment, Puerto Rican people trash each other. That's what she said. She said it's part of our culture. She said also the comedian's talking about our island. She said this island is filled with garbage. It's not a clean place. It's been left to rot. So she didn't take offense at that. I'm seeing the Mockingbird media is doing everything they can to say that Puerto Ricans were derided at a Trump rally in Madison Square Garden that critics said bore a resemblance to Nazi rallies. Here's what the Politico did. This is how they reported what Biden said, which was the only garbage he sees is Trump supporters. Biden, in a Zoom call with the organization Voto Latino, said, quote, the only garbage, end quote, was the, quote, hatred, end quote, of Trump supporters who said such things about American citizens. Now, I'll pull this audio for tomorrow so you can hear it, but you should, if you have an opportunity, go to my YouTube, and this will be later today, and watch the video. Because I tell you, Biden was reading that statement. He really, really sad to see his eyes. So I think evidently affected by Parkinson's. I was talking to a doctor who saw this and was posting on my live show this morning during our 8 o'clock Pacific podcast is live. And I know this guy to be a doctor. I'm just saying, yeah, sometimes that's the effects of Parkinson's, eyes like that. But Biden was reading that statement. And then the Politico comes and pretends that he didn't say the only garbage he sees are his supporters. Now, a interesting way to look at this is this could be Joe Biden with political muscle memory actually tanking Kamala Harris by saying this stuff right after she gave her big speech in Washington, D.C., where she's uniting people. Could be. She's in trouble with black young men. She's in trouble with young men. The data is horrible for her. This is a segment of society she should be owning in politics, but she's not. So you know what she could do? She could go on the Joe Rogan podcast, the number one podcast in the world. I mean, mine's a good podcast. You can watch mine at youtube.com/@the Todd Herman Show. You can also go and get involved in our live podcast that we do every morning at 8 Pacific, 11 Eastern. But we're nothing compared to Joe Rogan's audience. Number one podcast in the world, 38 now million, maybe 40 million views, and YouTube will not surface it in search. If you go to YouTube, you type in the Joe Rogan Experience, President Trump, up until this morning, they wouldn't show you the whole episode, 3 hours. They would show you clips, but what they want you to watch is response videos. People responding to what Joe Rogan said to President Trump, what Trump said to him. Now, that could be a monetary decision. They make more money with the more views you watch, the more, maybe they don't make a bunch of money during that show, but no, their algorithm works. It'll pause that podcast and make you watch an ad to continue. So Kamala Harris could go on with Joe Rogan's show and make that argument to young men. And Joe Rogan has extended the invitation for her to go to Austin for a 3-hour conversation. And the Harris campaign, according to Rogan, has said, nope, no more than an hour. We're not coming to Austin. You have to come to us. Does she say that to Jimmy Kimmel, who has a smaller audience than Joe Rogan? No, I'm not flying to Los Angeles. Or I think he does his show from Burbank. I'm not flying to Burbank. You have to come here. Does she say it to Howard Stern, who has a smaller audience, I think, radio-wise than Rogan does on podcasting? No. She, in fact, when she's in town, will sit down with local journalists for very quick interviews, 2 or 3 questions. So she goes to them, but not to Joe Rogan. The game is this, of course. She wants to agree to an hour interview, show up late, give him 40 minutes, and rush through it to say, I did it. And meanwhile, she is absolutely tanking with young men. That should show you how confident they are in her ability to be able to communicate to people. For instance, this is a black man in Philadelphia, and he didn't give MSNBC the answer they wanted about Barack Obama telling black men how to vote.
And I just wonder for anybody who heard that, like what they thought of that.
I was deeply offended. And it felt like a moment where it's like, you N-words better get in line and do what we say. And it felt like him as the czar of the Democratic Party coming down to say, go get these N-words in line. And the general tone of it was disgusting. It was abhorrent. I don't respect it. I didn't like nothing about it. And Kamala, 2 days after that, is like, we love our black men. We have programs and things that we're rolling out for them. And she rolled out policy.
Good cop, bad cop. You know, because...
Well, I'm tired of the good cop, bad cop. Right? I'm tired of it.
She has been seen for what she is, which is someone created in God's image. Let's remember that. Loved by God. And euphemistically speaking, she's a flat piece of paper with words written on it. Words she didn't write. She's just the piece of paper on which they're written. It's frustrating sometimes, but we do it. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
3 sound bites in the Tower of Babbling. Almost always 3. Sometimes we get a bonus. Soundbite number 1. Kamala Harris pretends she didn't lie about Joe Biden's mental decline.
You say that you were honest with the American people about what you saw in those moments with President Biden as you were with him again and again, repeatedly in that time.
Of course. Joe Biden is an extremely accomplished, experienced, and capable in every way that anyone would want if they're president.
And you never saw anything like what happened at the debate night behind closed doors with him?
It was a bad debate. People have bad debates.
Yeah, it was not just the debate, of course. It was the pattern. Incidentally, those who are familiar with Kamala Harris will remember that she had called Joe Biden a racist during a debate. She called him a racist to his face. And when she was asked about that later, when she had agreed to serve as the woman who's supposedly VP... That's her title, but she also works for a figurehead. She said in response, a journalist said, you'd called him a racist during the campaign. Do you take that back? And she said, that was during a debate. A debate? It was a debate. Meaning it's okay to lie then or now, because you either changed your mind or you didn't. And here, Joe Biden had a bad debate. Second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. And this comes from one of the biggest liars in Democrat politics, also a woman. Incidentally, aren't there great women who are also Democrats? There's got to be. My sister's a Democrat. She's doesn't know the Lord yet. Pray God she will one day, but she doesn't go around lying. Hillary Clinton is a new definition for Nazi.
Trump actually reenacting the Madison Square Garden rally in 1939. I write about this in my book. President Franklin Roosevelt was appalled that neo-Nazis, fascists in America were lining up to essentially pledge their support for the kind of government that they were seeing in Germany.
Holding rallies means you're a Nazi. That seems somewhat expansive. There's a saying I use from time to time. If everything is a Nazi, nothing is a Nazi. If everyone's a Nazi, no one's a Nazi. If everything is racist, nothing is racist. And try this. Try this with kids. As you're raising your kids, tell them, oh, don't touch the dog. The dog is hot. Don't touch the couch. The couch is hot. And eventually something's going to happen. They'll be in the kitchen. You'll be cooking. Don't touch the burner or the stove. It's hot. And they'll, why not? Hot doesn't hurt. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, and I apologize for her voice again. Hillary Clinton is only part of the coven of Democrats pretending Trump is literally Hitler.
So yesterday we learned that Donald Trump's former chief of staff, John Kelly, a retired four-star general, confirmed that while Donald Trump was president, he said he wanted generals like Adolf Hitler had. Donald Trump said that because he does not want a military that is loyal to the United States Constitution. He wants a military that is loyal to him.
So we are very, very clear. Around the events of January 6th, there's a guy named General Milley, a guy who offered to call the Chinese Communist Party generals and tell them in advance if President Trump was going to launch an attack. That's treason. That is being willing to commit treason. He was also fundamental in holding back National Guard troops from guarding the Capitol on January 6th. He was fundamental in that. In other words, taking orders from someone, but not the president who wanted them there. Just so we're clear. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
Young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word a computer is. They don't know. They don't know these things.
That was the Tower of Babbling on A Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, I want to be very careful about what I'm about to say and be very, very mindful, because it's not common for me to not share with you details of important things. And eventually I will share with you the details of the wrestling match I've been through. I'm going to wait for some time to pass, so the people involved, it won't be as evident. And then I will tell it to you. And I will, of course, change names and details, because I don't go around talking about my friends on the show in anything that could be controversial. I wouldn't be a friend if I did that. So I want to share with you, as I've been going through this discussion, and as I've been going through this, I've been getting counsel from a number of friends to hold me to account. And to hold myself to account, I've been telling him step by step, hey, this is what I'm observing. And they finally said to me, you know, you need to act. Okay. And then I said, okay, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to tell you. And that accountability was really solid. So helpful. Can I tell you something that's sometimes not helpful? And please, please hear me here. Please hear me here. When a brother or sister is struggling and they're wrestling with God, sometimes the answer is not Bible verses. The Word of God is always useful for correction, instruction, rebuke, guidance, inspiration. But God also invented you. He gave you empathy. He gave you the friendship. He gave you the love for your friends. He gave you the feelings of concern. And he may have given your friend the struggle or allowed it to happen for sure. It wouldn't have happened. So sometimes when a friend is struggling, maybe it's a text message, man, I'm really hurting. Sometimes sending a Bible verse isn't helpful. Because I can tell you, if your friend is abiding with the Lord, abiding with Christ, I bet they know the word. I bet they do. I bet, in fact, they can't avoid it. I bet they get into their car or truck and they hear sermons directed exactly at them. Can I tell you what is sometimes more helpful? Something like this. I feel so sad that you're hurting through this. I love you so much. This has to be so painful. Sometimes that's better because it's a gift God gave you. He invented you for a reason. Be okay. Be okay loving in that way too. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ and make disciples of all nations until the Lord allows us to speak again together. May His peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.